when Rainn Wilson, yes, the guy who played Dwight Schrute on The Office, sits down to write a book about spirituality, your first reaction might be skepticism. Yet in Soul Boom, Wilson taps into something profound that transcends his celebrity status. This isn't just another actor's vanity project. It's a passionate call for spiritual revolution at a time when humanity faces unprecedented challenges. The book has resonated with readers across the spectrum, from religious scholars to the spiritually curious, becoming a surprise bestseller and sparking conversations about how ancient wisdom might address modern crises. Wilson, drawing from his lifelong journey with the Baha'i faith and explorations of world religions, offers something rare in today's polarized landscape. A thoughtful middle path that honors both science and spirituality while challenging us to reimagine what it means to be human in the 21st century. Wilson's spiritual journey began in an unlikely place, through the television shows of his childhood. While many might associate the 1970s spiritual awakening with meditation or Eastern gurus, for young Rainn, it was through the flickering screen that he first encountered profound spiritual concepts. Two shows particularly shaped his understanding, Kung Fu and Star Trek. In Kung Fu, David Carradine portrayed Kwai Chang Kane, a half-Chinese Shaolin monk wandering the American frontier. Despite the problematic casting of a white actor as Chinese, the show delivered authentic Buddhist wisdom through its meditative pace and flashbacks to Kane's monastery training. Each episode addressed humanity's darkest impulses and their spiritual remedies, offering timeless wisdom like, "Vengeance is a water vessel with a hole. It carries nothing but the promise of emptiness." These teachings about detachment from base instincts, seeking wisdom from mentors, and walking a spiritual path with practical feet could have come from any major religious tradition. They form the foundation of Wilson's understanding that we are all spiritual seekers, whether we recognize it or not. Like Kwai Chang Kane, we're all on a journey, seeking wisdom and mastery over our darker impulses. We draw on teachings from our past, from parents, faith traditions, and mentors, as we strive to become better people despite life's challenges. This represents what Wilson calls our twofold moral purpose, with the first component being personal transformation. Spiritual traditions provide tools to navigate both external obstacles and internal barriers, like negative self-talk, addictions, and destructive character traits. But there's a second branch to our moral purpose that most people overlook, our spiritual journey as a collective species on a planet we're verging on destroying. This is where Star Trek enters Wilson's narrative. Gene Roddenberry's vision depicted humanity in the 23rd century after we've worked out our problems through both scientific advancement and emotional wisdom. What's most significant about Star Trek is its portrayal of a spiritually and intellectually awakened humanity sharing its evolved nature throughout the galaxy. The show metaphorically tackled society's greatest challenges, war, racism, technological advancement, from the perspective of an enlightened future. By the next generation, Captain Picard could explain that humanity had eliminated money and greed. We work to better ourselves and the rest of humanity. Though never overtly religious, Star Trek presented an essentially spiritual message: global unity founded on compassion and equity. This complements the personal spiritual journey represented by Kung Fu, creating a balanced path that honors both inner peace and service to humanity. Just as spiritual traditions from Buddhism to Christianity emphasize both personal transformation and service to others. Wilson makes a compelling case that modern society suffers from a profound lack of spiritual connection, resulting in what he calls deaths of despair. The statistics he presents are alarming. 70,000 Americans die annually from suicide or drug alcohol-related deaths, with opioid overdoses claiming 68,630 lives in 2020 alone. Suicide-related thoughts increased 47% among young adults from 2008 to 2017, with nearly 1 in 5 high school students having seriously considered suicide. depression affects 280 million people globally and tripled during early COVID-19. Perhaps most telling is the epidemic of loneliness affecting 37 million adult Americans, with Gen Z experiencing loneliness at rates approaching 50% higher than seniors, who were historically the loneliest demographic. These mental health crises represent just one of many societal pandemics destroying humanity's social fabric. Racism, which Wilson describes as the Earth's most explosive and pernicious evil, centers on the concept of otherness that might have once served a tribal survival purpose but is now deeply destructive. Human DNA cannot determine race, as race is merely a social construct created for oppression. Healing racism requires both addressing this spiritual disease of otherness and reforming broken systems to create the diverse human family most people desire. Gender-based discrimination represents another global pandemic that has persisted for millennia. Despite progress with movements like #MeToo, women worldwide continue to face belittlement, abuse, financial inequality, and disempowerment. Through his work co-founding Lied Haiti, Wilson has witnessed extreme subjugation of young girls who rise before dawn to work, receive minimal education, and frequently face sexual abuse or trafficking as restavex, unpaid domestic workers. Materialism functions as another pandemic, rooted in our ancient survival instincts. While stockpiling resources once meant survival, today's consumerism manipulates these primal impulses through advertising that targets our fears and desires. Wilson confesses to panic buying expensive foreign beans during early COVID lockdowns, a perfect example of our prehistoric deprivation brain terror at work. Economic inequality represents perhaps the most grotesque pandemic. The world's 8 richest men own as much wealth as the poorest 50% of humanity, nearly 4 billion people. The top 3 billionaires possess more assets than the poorest 48 countries combined. While increased taxation might help, Wilson believes true change requires spiritual evolution, where billionaires could not sleep at night knowing hunger exists and humanity collectively cannot tolerate such injustice. Nationalism and militarism continue to threaten global stability, with the doomsday clock standing at its closest ever position to midnight, just 100 seconds away. Climate change, which Wilson calls the granddaddy of all pandemics, disproportionately impacts the poorest populations first, as seen in Syria's drought-induced civil war. These pandemics are interconnected. Greed fuels materialism, selfishness drives economic injustice and discrimination, while narcissism powers nationalism and contributes to mental health struggles. Despite this bleak assessment, Wilson finds hope in moments of global solidarity during COVID-19 and racial justice movements. Wilson opens this section with a deeply personal story about preparing his father's body for burial according to Baha'i funeral rites, frantically searching for an appropriate bowl while racing against time. This poignant, sometimes darkly humorous account leads to his epiphany while watching his father's final moments. The physical body is merely a vessel, not the essence of a person. Challenging materialist views that consciousness ends when brain activity ceases, Wilson argues that human consciousness remains one of science's greatest mysteries. He questions the hard problem of consciousness that scientists struggle to explain. Why our memories seem infinite, why we dream, why we need emotions. While materialists like Daniel Dennett view consciousness as merely an illusion created by brain activity, Wilson points out there's no evolutionary explanation for why humans developed such complex self-awareness beyond what's needed for survival. This exploration of consciousness leads Wilson to his book's central thesis: the solutions to our global pandemics aren't political, but spiritual. He argues that legislation alone cannot heal humanity's deepest wounds, citing how even electing America's first black president ultimately led to increased division. Wilson draws from diverse spiritual traditions, Jesus's Love Thy Neighbor, Buddhist teachings on equality, Quranic justice, Baha'u'llah's loving-kindness, Hindu compassion, and Judaism's tikkun olam to demonstrate that humanity suffers from lack of spirituality. Wilson challenges materialist views of consciousness as merely electromagnetic pulses in the brain, pointing to cases like Noah Wall, born with only 2% of his brain yet developing normal cognitive abilities. He references research suggesting our second brain in our gut influences decisions and feelings, and cites theories that thinking involves our entire body, not just the brain. Examining humanity's earliest spiritual practices, Wilson notes that even pre-Homo sapiens species buried their dead with valuable possessions, a practice that makes no practical sense unless they believed in an afterlife. This ancestor worship appears in cultures worldwide, where people called upon deceased relatives for guidance. Wilson wonders what evolutionary purpose this serves, questioning if dreams, those bizarre experiences outside time and space, might have provided early humans glimpses into realms beyond physical existence. Wilson concludes his exploration of death by sharing how his media company Soul Pancake created My Last Days, a docuseries about terminal patients that TV executives initially rejected despite being moved by it. When released on YouTube, it garnered hundreds of millions of views. The subjects universally expressed gratitude for life's moments, love for those precious to them, appreciation for nature, the need to slow down, and regret for time not spent mindfully. Wilson offers a spiritual metaphor, comparing fetuses developing organs in the womb to humans developing spiritual virtues on Earth, qualities like love, compassion, truthfulness, and patience that we'll need in whatever realm exists beyond death. Unlike the materialistic board game Life, where winning means accumulating wealth, Wilson suggests the real game involves cultivating divine attributes that we take with us when we die. Wilson's relationship with God has been a lifelong struggle. Growing up Baha'i, he was taught God was the unknowable essence rather than a judgmental sky daddy. Yet as a teen, that image morphed into the more culturally pervasive, all-seeing deity frowning at his teenage fumbling. In his 20s, he rejected spirituality entirely, even trying on atheism while studying acting in New York. His mental health struggles eventually forced him to reconsider spirituality. Battling depression and anxiety, he needed something greater than himself. As Julia Cameron said, necessity, not virtue, was the beginning of my spirituality. While his friends remained vaguely non-committal about God, Wilson needed clarity. God either is or isn't. Wilson respects atheists and their love of science, which he shares completely. He rejects the false dichotomy between science and faith, seeing them as different tools for understanding the same reality. What he admires about atheists is their natural skepticism and refusal to inherit beliefs without examination. They investigate truth independently and challenge supernatural assumptions. Ironically, Wilson notes that atheists have developed one of the most spiritually minded frameworks ever conceived, the simulation hypothesis. Popularized by Elon Musk and Neil deGrasse Tyson, this theory suggests we live in a perfect simulacrum of a three-dimensional universe, and when we die, we wake up in our real bodies in the real universe. This entire apparatus is overseen by a giant supercomputer or AI that tracks each individual and backs up our souls to a cloud beyond our limited space-time continuum, suspiciously like another conception of God. The simulation hypothesis beautifully aligns with religious traditions. In Islam, Imam Ali said, "People are asleep as long as they are alive. When they die, they wake up." Hindu philosophy speaks of Maya, the illusion of the material world. Shankara illustrated this with his rope-snake allegory. Mistaking a rope for a snake in dim light represents our misperception of reality. People reject belief in God for various reasons, from religious hypocrisy to the problem of suffering. The question of how to reconcile a loving creator with the grotesque suffering inflicted on good people represents one of the grandest arguments against a divine creator. Wilson offers three responses. First, where does human responsibility end and God's begin? We've invested enormously in weapons while neglecting disease research. Second, what would a world without suffering look like? Without pain, we couldn't appreciate joy. Third, the great spiritual traditions suggest suffering serves a purpose. Christianity sees it building character and hope. Buddhism teaches overcoming suffering through non-attachment. Islam views tests as bringing us closer to Allah. And the Baha'i faith sees difficulties as necessary for spiritual perfection. When atheists describe the God they don't believe in, Wilson often responds, "I don't believe in the God you don't believe in either." The demand for laboratory-verified proof of a higher power creates an impossible standard. Just as we can't scientifically prove love exists despite its undeniable reality, we can't prove God in a laboratory. Perhaps God is better conceived not as a being, but as being itself, the consciousness of the universe, comparable to concepts like love or beauty that transcend material proof yet remain profoundly real. After returning from a religious pilgrimage to Bajji, the shrine where Baha'u'llah, founder of the Baha'i faith, is buried, Wilson found himself contemplating words largely absent from everyday society: sacred, holy, reverence, divine, blessed, devotion, sanctity, prayer, worship. What does sacred truly mean in our chaotic modern world? Wilson's experience at Bajji was profound. Joining Baha'i pilgrims from across the globe, he approached the shrine reverently, feeling the air itself change, vibrating with both joy and stillness. Inside, he prayed from books and heart, sometimes just sitting in silence, experiencing time stretching like molasses. Upon leaving, he felt renewed clarity, as though his heart's windshield had been cleaned. This experience prompted him to question, "Is nothing sacred? Is everything? If everything is sacred, can a 7-Eleven be sacred? A car wash? That area behind a strip mall with the dumpsters? The mundane seems profane, places built solely for profit without aesthetic consideration. Yet the restaurant where Wilson and his wife had their first date holds special meaning despite being an ordinary business. Perhaps memory makes something sacred." Wilson considers Japanese haiku poet Matsuo Basho, who walked hundreds of miles through Japan on spiritual pilgrimages. For him, as with many Native Americans, there was no separation between what was holy, natural, artistic, or religious. "The temple bell stops, but I still hear the sound coming out of the flowers," Basho wrote. Thich Nhat Hanh echoed this. "In the sunlight of awareness, everything becomes sacred." Wilson invites readers to reflect on five questions. What is holy to you personally? Where does sacredness live? What should be sacred to all humanity? What is definitely not sacred? What have we lost by not having more sacredness in our lives? His hope is to spark a moment of pause, to reflect on what you consider sublime and gradually increase it in your daily life. Religion, despite causing disunity and violence at times, has historically been a force for progress, unity, and enlightenment. After visiting the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, Wilson felt the disunity between faiths, a powder keg of antagonism that could lead to world war at the intersection of three holy sites. Yet perhaps there's another path forward, exploring the universal truths that unite religions rather than divide them. Whatever name it goes by, God exists in some form in every religious faith. Even Buddhism, often cited as godless, acknowledges an unborn, an unoriginated, an unmade, an uncompounded spiritual force that enables nirvana, essentially describing God without Judeo-Christian anthropomorphism. This aligns with Christian philosopher Paul Tillich's definition of God as the ground of all being and Baha'u'llah's unknowable essence. Every religion includes some concept of life continuing after physical death. The earliest evidence of humanity's spiritual impulse comes from Upper Paleolithic burial sites where ancestors were interred with items for their afterlife journey. While mythologies differ about what the end looks like, all faiths share the central idea that physical life isn't our journey's end and the material world isn't the only world. All religions incorporate some form of prayer, communication with the divine, that takes countless forms. Personal conversations, dawn devotionals, lighting candles, chanting, singing, ecstatic dancing, ringing bells, or ritual ablutions. Anne Lamott brilliantly distills prayer into three essentials: help, supplication, thanks, gratitude, and wow, awe and wonder. Religion has helped humanity transcend being mere bio-robots driven by evolutionary programming to put community above selfish interests. Like Plato's cave allegory, religions suggest realms of mystery and glory exist just beyond our perception, that reality isn't just stuff but includes spiritual dimensions invisible to the eye. Religious communities extend the concept of family, creating social cohesion through shared rituals, ethics, and sacred mythology. They provide perspective through life's major transitions, marriage, birth, death, while fostering recognition of a divine spark within diverse believers. Today, as church membership plummets, we often seek community online instead. David Brooks observes that this digital community creates diversion without deep connection, leaving people separated from one another, divided, and alienated. Though contemporary society resists moral instruction, ethics remain inescapable in daily life. Faith communities historically provided a higher sense of right and wrong derived from timeless vision rather than current societal norms. As Barbara Tuchman noted, nations can decline from loss of moral sense rather than from physical reasons. Love is the strongest spiritual force, a cosmic power that binds the universe together like gravity. Religious traditions universally emphasize love as more than just feeling, but as action. Abdu'l-Bahá calls love the most great law, a magnetic force binding diverse elements of the material world. The Golden Rule appears remarkably similar across all religious traditions, demonstrating the foundational oneness of faith. From African tradition to Zoroastrianism, each faith articulates the same principle of treating others as you wish to be treated. This universal teaching centers on compassion, deeply considering how your actions affect others. Every religious tradition emphasizes service to the less fortunate as a fundamental principle. From Hindu dana, benevolent giving in the ancient Vedas, to Buddhist generosity as the first perfection, faiths have consistently championed altruism. As Rabindranath Tagore beautifully expressed, "I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was service. I acted, and behold, service was joy." Religion provides meaning and purpose, perhaps its most vital contribution. Spiritual paths offer frameworks addressing life's biggest questions, providing both macro purpose, building loving communities guided by justice, and micro purpose, developing our divine attributes while serving others. Modern society has dismissed religion as backward, yet studies show religious people report higher happiness levels, less depression, and greater resilience. With young generations abandoning traditional faiths despite these benefits, Wilson proposes a thought experiment, a soul boom religion that addresses today's challenges. This hypothetical faith would incorporate the 10 universal fundamentals of great religions while addressing modern needs. It would believe in a higher power, a creative cosmic source rather than judgmental sky daddy, life after death without eternal damnation, prayer, a rigorous spiritual practice combining prayer and meditation, transcendence, incorporating both modern psychology and ancient wisdom, and community, with special focus on empowering youth as catalysts for social revolution. Soul Boom would operate without clergy, following the AA model where principles are above personalities. Leaders would be elected, rotating servant leaders with no more authority than any other member. This democratic approach prevents the abuses of power seen in traditional religious hierarchies. It would embrace all races, classes, genders, sexual orientations, identities, creeds, languages, and cultures. Like regenerative agriculture that thrives through crop diversity rather than monoculture, Soul Boom sees human diversity as strengthening the community. Solboom would aim to correct the historical shift from matriarchal feminine spirituality to patriarchal control, re-honoring the divine feminine. It would reject the false dichotomy between science and spirituality, seeing both as methods for examining the same unified reality. Drawing from indigenous spirituality's deep connection to nature, Solboom would prioritize regular immersion in natural settings, following neuroscientist Dr. Rachel Hopman's 25-3 rule, 20 minutes outside 3 times weekly, 5 hours monthly in semi-wild nature, and 3 days yearly completely off-grid. Solboom would place justice at its core, seeing it as the precursor to lasting peace, which in turn enables human unity. Service to others would form the foundation of its philosophy, encouraging followers to ask, "How can I be of the most service to the most people?" The faith would emphasize practical, applicable spiritual teachings, spiritual life hacks that make everyday life better. It would incorporate arts, especially music, into its foundation, empowering youth to use creative expression for personal and societal transformation. Unlike many faiths, Solboom would admit it doesn't have absolute answers. It would maintain a humble posture of learning, providing guideposts along the spiritual path without claiming certainty. As Richard Rohr said, "Healthy religion is always humble about its own holiness and knowledge. It knows that it does not know." Though Solboom as a religion will never actually exist, it serves to highlight universal foundational truths that humanity longs for: purpose, community, devotion, transcendence, and service. As we've thrown out spirituality along with religion's problems, it's time to reconsider the spiritual bedrock of organized faith with fresh eyes. One of history's most transformative events was the blue marble photograph taken by an Apollo 17 astronaut in December 1972. This first complete image of Earth illuminated by sunlight against the blackness of space became the most reproduced photograph ever, showing humanity its true home, a beautiful, vibrant miracle floating alone in the cosmos. Looking at Earth from an outsider's perspective, Wilson imagines aliens watching us, different species observing a fumbling, lovable, yet reprehensible species on the verge of self-destruction. These hypothetical aliens would note humanity's contradictions: our awareness of climate change, yet minimal action; our creation of vaccines during a pandemic, yet inability to unite around this triumph; our continued wars despite losing 108 million people to armed conflict. Our global priorities seem epically upside down. Political ad spending in the U.S. reached $8 billion for the 2022 midterms alone, money that could transform education, healthcare, or environmental initiatives. Global advertising in 2022 reached $781 billion, enough to potentially fix world hunger or address climate change if redirected for just 1 year. Despite these concerns, the new optimists like Steven Pinker and Hans Mosling argue we've made spectacular progress in human well-being. By many measures, they're right. Extreme poverty has fallen from 90% to 10% in a century. Global life expectancy has increased from 29 to 71 years, and infant mortality has dropped from 30% to 3%. We face a paradox: unprecedented progress alongside existential threats. The Baha'i faith offers a framework explaining this contradiction. Two parallel forces work simultaneously: integration and disintegration. Both destruction and evolution happen concurrently, and both are necessary. We're ultimately headed toward global unity, a unified human family sharing resources and caring for each other, though the path there may be chaotic. Nearly every modern organizational structure suffers from fundamental brokenness. Our healthcare system is fractured and unjust, evidenced by the opioid epidemic. Education remains underprioritized and funded inequitably. Criminal justice perpetuates racist policies. Even entertainment is a swamp of bloated personalities, vanity projects, and mediocre content driven by fear and ego. Partisan politics represents perhaps the most dangerous broken system, a toxicity that threatens our nation and world. Like soccer hooliganism, where team loyalty leads to violence, Americans pledge unwavering loyalty to political teams regardless of candidate quality. We need an altogether new foundation built on cooperation, unity, humility, and selfless service. Wilson concludes by offering 7 foundational concepts for the spiritual revolution he believes humanity desperately needs. 1. Write a new mythology of humanity. Everything begins with a story. For over a century, we've heard the legend of Homo sapiens evolving through conquest and survival of the fittest. But what if we started telling an altogether different story? Like Suzanne Simard's discovery that forests operate not through competition but through cooperation and interdependence, we must apply this vision to human history. 2. Foster joy and squash cynicism. The pandemic of cynicism is destroying us without our awareness. The opposite of cynicism isn't optimism, but joy, a force that acknowledges sorrow while offering strength. Abdu'l-Bahá called joy a superpower. Joy gives us wings. In times of joy, our strength is more vital, our intellect keener, and our understanding less clouded. 3. Reinvent adversarial systems. Our adversarial systems are fundamentally broken. The Baha'i faith offers a striking alternative in its election process. With no campaigning, nominations, or parties, Baha'is vote in prayerful silence for those showing unquestioned loyalty, selfless devotion, well-trained mind, recognized ability, and mature experience. 4. Don't just protest, build something. Humanity excels at war and conflict, with our language saturated in battle metaphors. This mindset has created a culture of opposition and protest rather than construction. True change requires building new models that make the old ones obsolete. 5. It's grassroots, baby. For a spiritual revolution to succeed, we need organization. Soul work requires careful planning. We are all protagonists for social change, not passive followers waiting for leaders. Start small. Gather friends and neighbors around common causes that might build toward movements. 6. Virtuous education. Our education system teaches many practical skills but neglects crucial character development. Spiritual virtues, those divine attributes cultivated through our actions, can and must be actively taught, not absorbed through osmosis. 7. Radical compassion. Of all spiritual virtues, compassion may be the most transformative. True compassion says, "I feel with you and I am here to help." It drives us to action. Radical compassion expands both the number of people we deeply connect with and the depth of that feeling until it bursts into transformative action. What makes a good life? According to Harvard's 80-year grant study, the answer is remarkably simple. The only thing that really matters in life are your relationships to other people. This profound truth connects to everything Wilson has discussed. Like cells in a body, we are individuals yet part of something greater. For millennia, humanity has operated under the illusion of separation, tribalism, dualism, ego-centered living. But we're awakening to our interdependence. The next evolutionary step is understanding we are not merely interconnected. We are one. Any perception of separation is illusion. Like waves on the ocean, we are distinct yet part of something vastly more powerful and beautiful.